Long gone are the days when bronze statues of famous people were the face of public art in our cities. For the last 20 years, dozens of public artworks have changed the face of Christchurch and generated a lot of lively debate due to the efforts of the Scape Trust. It commissions site-specific works from New Zealand and international artists for its biennial festival, working with artists and businesses on sculptures that are often there for just a few weeks while others are made to stay. Art commentator and writer Dr. Warren Feeney has looked at Scape's first 20 years for a book called Out There. We have a gallery of images from the book that you can access at rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. I asked Warren what makes the Scape approach to public art unique.
It's got to be public art in public spaces, and I think all the artists were really excited about the premise of putting their work out there in a space that wasn't a gallery, and it was kind of probably best crystallised for me by Neil Dawson, who made a comment about, there's a chapter that where it's called Difficult Objects in a Hostile Environment, and that hostile environment is the general public. It's everybody walking past works. And, you know, in a way, it's interesting with Neil because of Fanfare, the work that Scape, it's the largest public artwork in the country. It's 20 metres in diameter, with 360 pinwheel sort of little windmills, and it's lit at night. That's by Cheney's Corner, so it's on the State Highway 1 to the, out on the motorway. And you can go past that regularly, and, you know, the difference between that and being in a gallery, you're racing past it, I guess, doing 100 Ks and thinking, there it is. It's so different. It's so completely different. And there are huge pluses around that, which are obviously the notion of introducing people to ideas and artworks by national, international artists that are, they just don't leave you alone, you know. The ideas come back, the works come back, you're feeling frustrated. What is that all about? What's that doing there? It's an open field in which everybody is sharing a relationship with that public work of art, whether they like it or not.
Well, I guess it's even more than that in a way, Warren, isn't it? That difference between art in a gallery and art outside, because it's even in a way helped to redefine public art. So art that was in the public arena, so often monuments to famous people in an open space. And this is so very different. I mean, it's the work is site-specific, permanent or designed to be permanent, sometimes temporary. But it's shaken up that whole view of public art too.
It's interesting you mention monuments because, you know, there are these memorials too, and they tend to be founding fathers. At the other end of that, you now have the experience of public art, and we have for the last sort of 20-30 years, where you might be standing facing a work of public art and actually not know that it's actually a public work of art. And actually, I had that very experience. It took me Martin Creed, when he was, it was 2006, he was involved in Scape. It was called Don't Misbehave, based on the premise of, let's put public art out there and let's sort of see how people respond when the works, they're more about an idea than necessarily the object. So Martin Creed came over from England, and the work he had and he placed on site was called Work Number 165, and it was actually a garden down by, or a small section of garden down by the Avon River, and it was about 12 plants, I think. They were all native New Zealand plants, and they were all planted in a perfect row, going from the very smallest to the tallest. And I went down to have a look at that. I had the map, and I couldn't find it. And I went back the next day, and I still couldn't find it. And then finally, on the third day, I got it. And that bothered me for a long time. And, you know, it was interesting in a way, because that notion that a really good work will nag away at you, you know, because you feel cheated. Where was that work? Why did he do that? But one of the things that struck me, and it was a good time after, but it struck me that Creed was actually putting me into a place in the city to look at and to take in, and all of my searching and my experience of the work, that's really stuck in my memory, because I have this very strong memory now of the site and what a wonderful site that area was down around the river.
Chalice, while not part of Scape, arrived around about the same time in Christchurch with Neil Dawson's work, and you reflect on this in your book, Warren. That's a significant work in many ways, isn't it?
There was a work where we had this, in fact, anger about it being placed within the square. I mean, I think the problem there was the site. What is that contemporary work doing beside the cathedral? Even though Neil Dawson's the imagery in it is in fact picking up on a lot of the shapes and forms in the glass windows of the cathedral. But there were numerous letters to the paper complaining and wanting it, really angry with it being there. And then when the events in America in 2000 with the Twin Towers, the next day people were walking in there spontaneously putting flowers around that memorial, around that work as a sign of respect and sorrow and sadness and solidarity in terms of what had happened. And no one could have predicted that.
Well, it ties in with it's the first scape called Scape, the second of the Biennales, and this had one of the most contentious artwork, Michael Patakofi's Disney Rabbits. And my goodness, didn't that get people exercise?
Yes. Yeah.
Why was it, do you think?
I think absolutely, and I think this is discussed in some ways in the publication too. It was Cosmo and Jim McMurty. It was a proposal for these two giant Disney-ish looking rabbits, and they were in the square. And obviously there's this thing about colonialism and the notion of introducing new species and the way in which they impact on the environment. And it was really interesting too, because the notion really that work was affronting and shouldn't be there, that really came down, I think, to popular perceptions about the square and the cathedral as evidence of, if you like, you know, colonialism, but symbolic of something about the city that was incredibly important to some sections of it. So here you have this Auckland-based artist, don't you, Michael Patakofi, coming down here. I can't remember the phrase exactly, but he mentions something about, the square being not Dow, but just a place that needed a bit of life in some way or other. And I think he was very conscious of the notion that may offend some people. There's a nice contrast, actually, with that, which is actually a comment made by Dorothée Poulet. She reviewed the that was in 2002, the Patakofi work. But in the inaugural event in 2000, Scape first launched, they did Bill Colbert's Blue in what was then the Christchurch Convention Centre, that neon blue sculpture where it was winding in and out of the glass wall of the building. Very contemporary, and actually nothing like it, totally unprecedented. And Dorothée Poulet made the point that work was very well received, but of course it was in a contemporary building. And if you then put that in contrast with Patakofi and those two rabbits, there you have something that was sitting in sacred territory, inverted commas.
Reflecting on, as you do, this 20 years of Scape, what legacy do you think it has left? Not just in the sculptures that have survived and are still around the city and still being created, but what do you think it's meant for Christchurch?
The critical thing for me when I look at it and think about that is that it actually has made a significant contribution to shifting perceptions about art into the broader community. And that's not just with people in general, in spite of obviously continuing ongoing occasional now, I guess, complaints about public art. But Scape, it's difficult to say underestimate the way in which they've impacted seriously on perceptions about contemporary art and public art. And actually, in 2008, it was actually towards the end of doing the research for this book, there was a survey done by City Council. They'd done a survey, what is it that makes Christchurch Central City distinct? And public art came in number 5, and you could never have imagined that even 20 years ago. I mean, it was there behind the Botanical Gardens and Hagley Park, which is to be expected. I think the fact it was on the list and it was actually pretty high up, that's significant. And it says something, doesn't it, about the way in which contemporary art, public art's been normalised to a great extent, and it's hard to imagine that happening without those 20 years of projects and sort of the virtually nearly 200 or just over 200 artists that have been involved in working with Scape.
Is there a work that has, over all these years, for whatever reason, that has most personally resonated with you? You mentioned the kind of the botanical work earlier on, But what's another one that you that stays with? You know, it's personal to you.
Yeah, a number of people have mentioned this to me too. There were works that kept on coming up when I was interviewing artists and also the businesses and companies involved with Escapes projects. One of the ones that came through quite regularly, or quite often I should say, was Zena Swanson's Can Anybody Hear Me? And that was a work where the project, actually it involved the employment of a hypnotist in Christchurch, Reg the Hypnotist, and a stall, and volunteers or people that the artist seconded into being hypnotised. I saw there were four iterations of it. The first one was on Manchester Street. The second one was by the town hall around the river. And that was in 2013. So it was just as the city was starting to open up again. And the premise of the project was that the hypnotist, Reg, hypnotised people and connected them with the environment they were around, that is the plants and the river, the life, the natural life of that space. And I attended the second one. The one that I attended, sitting there listening, and under hypnosis, the person started talking about the feeling of the water around them and the sun coming in and all of these very sensory things that you would sort of anticipate or expect a plant to talk about. And what was interesting was the way that it connected me very strongly with that place and that site. And it wasn't something that was on my mind, but there you had an artist engineering a project, because we were sitting in the city. The city was still largely, well, it hadn't been rebuilt, anywhere near rebuilt. It was really in very early stages. But you couldn't help but think, this is okay. This is a lovely day to be here. This is actually a really nice place to be. And it was creating that sense of being aware of what was around you. And I guess, too, the fact that the natural world was just carrying on in spite of all this damage and destruction. Thinking about that later, the work by Anthony Gormley, Stay, the figure in the river, that was really eliciting exactly the same message as well. He talks about that, too, as being important in terms of it's a reminder to people to be in that moment and connected with the world in which is around them and in which they live. And that actually also has come up in other Scape projects too. There was Waiting for a Bus by Agmet Ogden. I took a group of students to see that, and that was, I think, 2013 maybe as well. But it was a big roundabout outside the Canterbury Museum, but it went really slowly when it went around. You could sit down, and very slowly it moved you 360 degrees from looking at the botanical gardens to the art centre, then back around to the museum. And the group I was with, we all sat down and waited. And it just slowed everything down. And again, it puts you right there in the here and now. So, I mean, I guess Zena's work is the one that probably has the strongest memory. But it's interesting making those connections with the other works, because they were all immediately post-quake, really. And they were about the way in which, those three especially, the way in which public art can actually be important for people's well-being in a really profound way. And that's an interesting subject as well, because when you start talking about well-being...
We looked at some of the more controversial works in those early years. Warren, do you think in 2019, 2020, is it harder to surprise or shock people after living with public art? Do you think attitudes have changed? Maybe if the Disney rabbits were proposed now, post-earthquake and 20 years on, it might get a different response?
I think probably the notion of contemporary art being shocking, I think as a movement, that's something for me that kind of belongs back there with the 50s and the 60s. I think what you now have is, I would say, maybe in a broader sense, it's about a good idea being put out there in public in the form of a piece of sculpture or as an object or an experience for public engagement that can still upset or shock or challenge people's perceptions about something they believe in. I don't think that's ever going to change. I mean, that's one of the interesting things about Scape's program is just, well, not just Scape, but just the notion really that contemporary art and an artist with a good idea can go out there. And it can often be, and I know people say this and you think, well, how true is that? That notion that art can actually anticipate or provide a critique of things that are going on in society which may or may not have been considered or commented on.
Warren Feeney, who's written Out There Scape Public Art 1998 to 2018,